Thank you for calling Minute 24. Please listen to the full menu, as the following options have changed. To select a guest to come on the podcast, press 1 now. To email the title of a movie you've never seen to the guest, press 2 now. To make wild guesses about the movie, press 3 now. To watch Minute 24 to Minute 30 of the movie, press 4 now. To make more wild guesses, press 5 now. To have the movie spoiled for you, please stay on the line. Shh, it's starting. Hello, Alex.
Hi, Melissa.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Nice to meet you.
Stop. What a lovely place you have here.
How nice.
Okay, so we're going to get right into it because someday in the future people will care about the things I have to say, but right now they don't care about how my day was.
I certainly don't.
Thank you. I'll spare you the trouble and the details. So basically, Alex, what I did before we got on this podcast is planned out every word. You have your script?
Wait, hold on. I want papers to shuffle, like, loudly into the microphone.
Did me saying papers work? There we go.
This is not working. This is not the effect I wanted.
What we did beforehand is I sent you a movie that you've never seen before, just the title of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you sent me the title of a movie I've never seen before. And from that, we've sort of made guesses about what's going to happen.
Right.
For those of you listening at home, please call the number flashing below on your screens. We'll have you on the live on air right now. I'm getting a call. How interesting. It's my mom.
Yeah.
When are you coming home?
Isn't Thanksgiving soon?
Who knows when they're listening to this?
Oh, yeah, probably after Thanksgiving.
But the fun thing is there's always another Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'll release it 1 year from today. And then it'll be a week before Thanksgiving. Just kidding. Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that moves.
Is it?
Yeah, it moves.
Well, I mean, it's the fourth
Thursday. But it's not always November
22nd. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I guess all the days move. Like, July 4th is always the 4th of July, but sometimes it's a Tuesday. And sometimes it feels like a Friday, 4th of July.
And sometimes it's the 5th of July.
Sure. And you go, oh, shoot, I missed the 4th of July. Essentially this is a podcast of spoilers for a movie, which frustrates Alex beyond belief.
I really have a hard time with this because I sent her a movie that I really do like and I'm going to ruin it for her.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to enjoy every second of it. So let's dive right in. Alex, you sent me the movie Pleasantville.
That's right.
Which you love. And you'll get a moment to discuss why you love it later, but I'm not gonna let you do it right now because I don't want it spoiled for me.
Great.
So I'm going to make a bunch of shot-in-the-dark guesses about what happens in Pleasantville.
Great.
Probably all
based solely on the title.
Yes. Well, that's not true. Going into it, I knew Tobey Maguire was in it.
Okay.
And I know that it's at some point in time set in, like, the 40s or 50s. But I'm pretty sure it's, like, not. I think it's, like, quote-unquote present day, which is, like, probably the 90s. And then they go back to the past. At some point in time. That's my guess. And I think the theme of the movie is that, like, the 50s or 40s or whatever time they go back to is, like, shown as this idyllic time, but there's going to find out that it's actually sort of dystopian in some way. And most of this is based on an episode of Boy Meets World, which I think mocks Pleasantville, but I could be wrong.
There's an episode of, okay, well, you might be wrong, but
right.
If that's true, I didn't know that.
Well, let me just tell you really fast what happens on this episode of Boy Meets World.
I'm not going to react to it anyway.
Just hide your face for a second. Corey is learning about Sputnik in school, and then he gets knocked on the head and goes back in time to the 50s where they're all worried about, like, the Russian bots, and everyone's there, and Topanga goes by TL. Or tough luck for guys like you, she says to Corey when Corey's like, we're in love. And she's like, no, we're not. She's chewing gum, which means she's tough. And it's all in, this is another thing I know about it, it's all in black and white when he goes back in the past, which I'm pretty sure happens in Pleasantville at some point in time. Like, it's in color, and then when they go back to the past, it becomes black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Famous lines or scenes, I think, come from this movie. Oh, gosh, we went back in time. And, hey, you kids, get off my timeline. Were either of those?
I mean, do you want to know?
People I think are in the movie. Tobey Maguire. I'm almost certain is in the movie. And then I think he has, like, a cute blonde partner in crime that's either his sister or a girl he's interested in, which is how you make
a pair. And those are the only two
movies.
Women that exist.
Yeah, that's how movies work. And if I have to guess, I'm thinking, like, Reese Witherspoon, Cameron Diaz, Claire Danes, one of
those. Now, here's the thing. Why do you this is what I'm curious about. If you've never seen the movie, how do you know that? Or maybe it's not true?
Yeah, also it could be not true.
But, like, what gives you that idea?
I do feel like, for some reason, I think I took a film crit class one time, and we discussed Technicolor and how they brought it into, the first time people saw, like, something in Technicolor was in The Wizard of Oz, where everything's black and white, and then when she goes to Oz, it becomes in Technicolor, and, like, movie audiences, like, freaked out to see a movie in color, and I'm pretty sure in that class they were like in Pleasantville, and we just saw the moment of it going from black and white to color, which is why I think that moment's in this movie. Okay. That, or I've invented it.
From whole cloth.
Who knows?
Is that a phrase?
From whole cloth?
Out of whole cloth.
I've invented it out of whole cloth? No.
I'm Googling that.
Okay. Genre of the movie, I think it's a dystopian comedy or a dark comedy. Again, because I personally believe that they think that it's...
That people need maps.
That U.S. Americans.
Out of whole cloth is on idioms.com.
Out of whole cloth. I've never heard of it. Is it whole with a W or whole with an H?
With a double hue. entirely, out of whole cloth means entirely from fiction or the imagination.
Yeah, that's
as though a complete fabrication.
My whole life is out of whole cloth.
Mm-hmm. Your name's not even Melissa.
No, I don't know what it is. Why haven't I seen this movie? Never piqued my interest. I have the same feeling about Tobey Maguire that I have about, like, oatmeal. If it's there, fine. And if not, also fine.
Well, also, are we allowed to... I mean, I don't know if this is on topic or off topic. You can shush me about it. But do you know Tobey Maguire is, like, a terrible person?
No.
Yeah, he's a real bad guy.
I just know him from, like, his work on screen. I literally know nothing about his work off screen.
Well, anybody who's interested can read the book Molly's Game or see the movie version of Molly's Game where the Michael Cera character is Tobey Maguire.
Interesting. Is it based off, I'm guessing it's based off a true story. Who's Molly in the fiction? In the nonfiction?
Well, it's a true story. Like, okay, so the book Molly's Game was this woman, Molly...
Maguire? No, that's wrong.
I'm going to Google it really quick.
Great.
But this woman, Molly, who was a former Molly Bloom. That's right, she was... Okay, so I was going to say she was Jewish.
Oh, okay.
Just like me.
Was?
I mean, I guess she's probably still Jewish.
Okay, I was like, oh, okay, she's still alive.
So this woman, Molly Bloom, was like a semi-professional or she was a college, like she was like a skier and she injured herself really horrifically and like could never be a competitive skier again. And she kind of bopped around. She was really intelligent and she ended up basically, I'm not going to do the long version because we're not talking about this movie today. Basically, she ends up running, like, one of the biggest illegal, like, gambling rings in the United
States. Of course.
It's, like, self-made. Sure. Like, as, like, you know. But she would run these high-stakes poker games, and a lot of them, she was in L.A., had celebrities.
Yeah.
And one of them was Tobey Maguire, and he was, like, so awful to her. Like, he would
But was he good at poker?
That I don't really honestly remember.
Because there's... quite frankly, an iconic scene in Ocean's 11.
Lauren just sent us a Facebook message.
Oh, I see.
Containing an article about this Hollywood poker game.
Oh, Molly Bloom's actual thing?
I don't know. Should I open it? Are we talking about this right now?
No, you'll read it while I'm saying this thing, because you're zoning out anyway. So there's an iconic scene in Ocean's 11.
Zoning out? No,
I'm just kidding. Where Danny Ocean, played by George Clooney, is getting the team back together, and he goes to find Brad Pitt.
That's right.
Who's teaching a bunch of
WB stars, including Holly Marie Combs from Charmed.
Yes.
Shout out to Holly Marie.
And Josh.
Shane West?
No. Josh.
Dumel?
No, I want it to be there. He's on a Topher Dawson's Grace. Creek type, but he's...
Joshua Jackson.
Yes, but he's also on Mighty Ducks, a movie I made Alex watch recently. And Tobey Maguire is there, and now that I've said it out loud, it's 100% Topher Grace. Is Topher Grace in this movie and not Tobey Maguire?
Molly's Game or Pleasantville?
I may absolutely not know who Tobey Maguire is.
Okay, Tobey Maguire is the guy who plays Gandalf in Lord of the Rings?
No, he's not.
She doesn't know.
No, that's Voldemort. No, that's Dumbledore.
Whoa.
That's Dumbledore. Nicholas...
Wait a minute. You think that the guy who plays Gandalf also plays Dumbledore?
For some of the movies, and for some of the movies he doesn't. No. No. I'm just thinking of a wizard.
You're thinking of a guy with a big white beard.
Okay, great. Well, let's watch a movie I haven't seen. Oh, man. All
right.
It's a terrifying movie, honestly. So
terrifying?
Yeah. There's a lot of moments of... Like, I think I was right about it being sort of dystopian and that, like Jeff Daniels not being able to stop wiping down one spot on a counter is terrifying.
That is... Yeah. I mean it's... Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would guess terrifying isn't what I think, because I know the story of the movie. But yeah, it is like, I mean, it's not supposed to be.
It's not a thriller.
No.
I get that.
But like, it's, yeah. But yeah, no, there's an, I mean, it's eerie.
Yeah, it's weird. Okay. Who is actually in the movie? Tobey Maguire.
That's correct.
Reese Witherspoon has totally right about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Alicia Silverstone?
No.
No, it's the other one.
Rachel Blanchard?
No. No, Julie.
What do you mean the other one?
The girl who looks like Alicia Silverstone.
The one who's in Model Makeover, Model Behavior.
Yes, her.
Her name is Maggie Lawson. She's Maggie from Psych.
I know, which that's you why love. I'm upset. Yeah. Her name's, I think, Julia in the show. Or Julie or something. I was definitely right, no matter what it was. And Jeff Daniels is in it, which is crazy. Any other star-studded people I should know about?
Well, am I supposed to tell you?
What?
IMDb.
Oh, Alex is IMDb.
Wait, what?
Lauren is saying IMDb it, but Alex is IMDb.
Oh, I know who's in it.
I know you do. Go ahead.
But am I supposed to tell you?
Just don't spoil any plot points, but you can tell me
who's in it. Okay, William H. Macy is in it.
What? Cool.
That was Paul Walker from Fast and Furious.
Oh my God. I literally just kept saying, he's so cute every second.
R.I.P. Joan Allen, Academy Award nominee. Marley Shelton, who's in some things.
No. Okay, you've lost me. Who's the main protagonist? Clearly Tobey Maguire with a side of Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, clearly be the second.
Yeah. Who's the main antagonist? I think, like, the world they're trapped in. Like, the way the 50s operate seems to be, like, the antagonist of the movie. Is there a person that's the antagonist?
Yes, but I think that person is also, like, embodying...
The 50s.
Yeah, like, is embodying, like, sort of this regressive...
Is it Paul Walker?
No, it's, like, the town... I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you.
Okay, wait, let me guess some more things, and then you can tell me everything. What's happening to the protag before this scene? So they clearly have stumbled into this world. I think the change, the technicolor to black and white change happens. I believe I was accurate about that. And what's happening to the antagonist before the scene? I don't really know who it is. So probably like a guy just going about his main business. What will happen to the protagonist antagonist in the future? So obviously like they're going to get caught up in this world of the 50s. And, like I think Tobey Maguire's already finding missteps and like he's already said like, we're going to ruin their whole timeline. So they're like on a set schedule. They've got to do things the way they've got to do things. And I think they're going to start getting caught up in like a Fred Flintstone needs to be at his daughter's birthday and also the Water Buffalo, like, members club society thing. And he's got to, like, try and run back and forth. Like, one of those situations is going to happen. A scene that probably happens in the movie. Okay, so I've already picked up that Reese Witherspoon is, like, a rebel in the real world. Like, she smokes. She, like, doesn't
follow the rules.
You will in, like, 2 minutes.
Okay, so I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah. So I think a scene that probably happens in the movie is there's a moment where Reese Witherspoon, like, burns her bra or, like, does some, like, rebel act that, like, shakes up the 50s. Like, maybe she walks in pants and everyone freaks out. Something like that. A scene that would be fucking awesome that happens in the movie. Paul Walker actually falls in love with Tobey Maguire and they have, like, a gay coming out scene. And, like, everyone is, like... both shocked, and there's this moment of like, oh god, it's the 50s, everyone's horrible, and then everyone applauds really loud, and then another kid comes out, and then a woman comes out, and that's what I hope happens in the movie.
Me too.
Uh-huh. What's the moral of the movie? Every time period has its own problems. That would be my guess. So like, even like people like think how great the 50s are, you know, poodle skirts and malt. I almost said malt liquor, but that's not what I wanted.
Malt liquor, baby.
Poodle skirts and malt liquor, Friday nights. But there's actually troubles in all of them. How does the movie end? Okay, so Tobey Maguire figures out that the way to get out of this dystopian future is to learn a lesson about himself. And he learns the lesson on prom night with Maggie Lawson is like his date. And he learns that like the 50s aren't as great as the world that he left. And he should just be happy in the world that he's in. And he falls asleep under the stars next to Maggie Lawson. And then he like thinks he's making out with her and wakes up the next day in his actual lawn in Technicolor. And it's like a dog licking his face.
It's That's the end of Lost. And the beginning of Lost.
It's both. Oh, and what's the last line of the movie? Maybe it was all a dream. Okay, now tell me everything that happens.
Do you just want me to tell you the whole story of the movie?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. So it takes place, it starts in present day and it's like, it's the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Which is the present day of when this movie was made.
I knew it.
And it's like, you know, like kind of this like jaded world and Tobey Maguire is kind of like a dork and his sister is like, you know, hanging out cool smoking spot. Under the bleachers. Uh-huh. And, and he's very, and Tobey's kind of like not, you know, not cool. And right. he loves the show Pleasantville, which is like a Leave It to Beaver type,
okay.
type television program uh-huh. that is like, he watches like after school and it's like, they play reruns of it. It's from the 50s.
Got it.
And so, basically it's like a magical thing where like this, like,
Doc Brown character.
Sort, well, no, because Doc Brown was this guy, this guy, so they break the TV, and then this mysterious repairman shows up, who's played by somebody famous, actually.
Peter Postlethwaite. So close.
Don Knotts. Not Peter Postlethwaite.
I was really so close.
Your mentor.
Yes.
And he, like, fixes the TV, but he asks, like, Tobey Maguire all these questions about Pleasantville. And he's like, wow, you really are, like, the biggest fan. Like, you are, like, the best person. He's like, here, let me give you this, like, upgrade or whatever.
And Tobey Maguire's just like, oh, someone to talk to.
Yeah. And then, and he gives him, like, this fancy remote, and,
like in Click.
Yeah. This is a prequel to Click.
That's crazy.
And anyway, the remote, of course, transports, Reese and Tobey into the television show.
So they're actual siblings.
They're siblings in the real world.
Okay, and do they take the spot of...
Of two siblings.
Of actual characters in
yeah,
the show?
Yeah, so they take the place of the two main characters. Okay, so Pleasantville, the television program
yes.
that was in the 50s was about a family. So it was like two parents.
Nuclear.
Yeah, and two children. So they take the place of the two children.
Do they have toilets in their house? Sorry, in the Brady Bunch, there were no toilets in the house?
I can't remember. I feel like they might have a joke about toilets because okay. that feels
because
like...
Because of that.
But, like, I just don't remember this moment. Because okay. I refreshed myself on the movie, but I didn't watch the whole thing, which I guess
you.
I should
that's
have
what
done.
I did, too. No, that's what I did.
So there may be. But that's the kind of thing that they're... So do you want me to just keep telling you about
that? Yeah, sorry.
So, so what you saw is, like, them... Like so they're learning sort of about the rules of the world. Like, so, like, for example, the high school basketball team... The shot always goes into
right,
the
hood.
It's
right.
sort of like a Galaxy Quest kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then, like, he literally, like, throws the ball over his head and it bling, 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 bling. So that's why...
Yeah, Tobey Maguire just kicked it.
Yeah, but so when he... So then, but they start realizing that, like, yeah, they are... If they don't play into these roles, they're going to mess up the world of Pleasantville. Like, when he says, like, I don't think my sister...
Oh, yeah, and then he misses the shot.
Yeah, and everyone's like, what? Because that's, like, never happened to them before, yeah. right?
Don't touch it.
Don't
that's
touch
really,
it.
I hope yeah. that's an ad-libbed line, because it's really
know.
Funny.
It was funny. So they are, like... So they're starting to, like, live in the world, and Tobey Maguire is really excited to be in Pleasantville because he is like, this is so much better than our like world we're living in now. And whereas Reese is like, this is garbage. Get me out of here.
And they also know they're trapped. Like
yes.
they instantly are like, we're trapped. They don't have a way to get back.
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, we're in Pleasantville.
Great.
And so, like they start like Reese, of course, is like, I don't care. So she, by the way, after that date, she like fucks Paul Walker. Like she fucks him immediately.
I mean, he's very cute, but it's going to ruin their
well,
world.
He's like, what? Like, obviously, that is not something that they
right.
don't even know about sex.
Right.
Like, they literally, like, I think there's, like, some sort of health. There may be, like, a joke where, like, there's like a health thing, but it's like, it's just like blank. Like, you know, she says the books are blank. Like,
yeah.
So she fucks Paul Walker instantly.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know if he's the first one or not, but he turns color.
Oh, see, I knew it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Do other people notice or just Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon?
No, other people notice. So they're like, what is going on? But so it's like, I don't know if Paul Walker's the first one, but like, so basically when people start breaking out of these, like, they're
so all, now he's like sentient in a real way.
He's not, no, he just is like, he's just knows more now because he knows that sex exists. Like, it's
sure,
like,
yeah.
It's more that like, but he's still like the person he is in the world of Pleasantville.
Okay, great.
And he's also like, what's happening to me? But like the more that they encourage people to like step outside of their roles,
yeah.
like the more things become color.
Okay.
They like sort of change, they're changing this world like from these like kind of rigid 50s archetypes. Like anybody who like kind of breaks out of that will turn color. Like things like flowers will become color and everyone's like, oh my God, they're like, what is that? Like they don't know, but they're like intrigued. The mom basically, the mom is like the mom of the Pleasantville nuclear family.
Yes,
played by Joan Allen, who's amazing. Is like in this situation where like she's like, it's because the thing I like about Pleasantville basically is that it's like a story, but it's also about like it has these bigger themes.
Mm-hmm.
Like so, like she's always like, I made Rice Krispies. I have dinner ready for you. You know, blah 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 blah.
Right.
And Reese like is like, did you ever like want like
more
anything more? And she's like, what do you mean? Oh my God, there's a great scene where Reese explains sex to her mom.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like that's what I'm saying. It's like.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you, and like Reese is like, hey, have you ever like, why don't you like draw a bath and like,
right.
Like figure yourself out or whatever. And like, and the mom, like, there's like kind of like an intense like scene where she like masturbates, but she becomes color. Like she's like, I don't like she wants.
Is it all a sexual awakening or do people become
color? It's not
color?
Also a sexual awakening because Reese is like, I'm fucking everyone here at Timbuktu. Why am I not
right.
turning in color or whatever? And,
but that's the world she knows.
Yes. And so, like, she ends up becoming, I'm going to use the word colored here
right.
just because it's just easier for me. Let's say technicolored. She becomes technicolored. She ends up, like reading more and, like, because she has, like, nothing to do in Pleasantville. And, like, oh, and then as Tobey Maguire keeps describing the plots of these books because they're real books and then the books fill in and then some kids like read a bunch of books and they have all these questions and they'll turn colors. It's not all about sex.
Okay, good.
And
and
Reese ends up like reading a bunch of books and becoming like really passionate and like wanting to like learn more, and that's what makes her change color. But
and Tobey Maguire gets accepted by a woman.
I can't remember. This is so bad.
I hope it's that he accepts himself.
Well, what ends up happening, I think it is when,
Maggie Lawson takes him to prom.
Okay, so he's not dating Maggie Lawson.
Ugh,
we're going to quash that right now. He's dating Marley Shelton, who is an actress whose face you might know if you saw it.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
But so what happens is there is, and this is what I like about, but then the mom ends up having an affair with Jeff Daniels. And she's like, but she's like seeking her own like
right,
happiness.
Right,
like,
right.
Cause like William H. Macy is the dad of the family.
Love him.
And he's like, where's my dinner? Like, why isn't it here? Like, why isn't it ready? Like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And what happens is the town elders, like kind of the mayor.
Yes.
They're all really upset. They're like, this is what I like about Pleasantville. Okay. So this is what it's really basically about is they're all like, we have traditions around here. A man comes home. His wife has dinner ready. Like, this is like, he's like, William H. Macy came home and there was no dinner waiting.
So weird that he calls him by his actor.
Well, yeah. Like, there's a meeting of the town.
Yeah.
Like, there was no dinner. And they're all like, you know, like.
And the mayor's a man.
Yes.
Yeah,
and he's like, we have to like stop this. We have to, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what the movie is really about. It's
change.
Like, it's about change and
right.
about people like wanting to keep things the way they are. And
right.
like, and they end up kind of like, people who are Technicolor are like, some people like shun them and are rude to them and
sure.
are gross to them, you know? And then the town gets really reactionary. Like the black and white people, they like burn the books and they like, you know, are trying to like destroy. Oh, they destroy Jeff Daniels. Like ends up, like I said, he ends up in this relationship with the mom and he ends up like discovering that he loves like painting.
Yeah.
And so he like does all this art and cause he loves the color and he like, and they like destroy his shop and
it
it's
makes me
because
really
people
sad.
Fear change.
Right.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's a fun movie, and then also you're like, this is like, you know, I'm not saying it's genius, but it is like, no, when I watched it when I was like, you know, 10, I was like, this is really cool and important.
I get art now.
Yeah. But so anyway,
how's the movie end?
So the movie ends with they ban color. The mayor is like,
you can't ban color.
He's like, there will be no paints will be in gray, black, white. There will be no talk of this. There will be no books. There will be no, and if you have, and they make people like put on, you know, they buy the compact of makeup and of course that's it's gray.
Jesus.
And they, you know, make them wear it or whatever. And they're not allowed to like listen to music and like, it's like very, you know, it's a thematic thing.
Sure.
And then, Jeff Daniels and Tobey Maguire paint a huge mural. It's a moral mural. Paint a huge mural that's like full color and like has like music and dancing and sex and nudity and, you know, blah, 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 blah,
nudity.
And then they're both like arrested and they like are put on trial.
Mm-hmm.
And like the few last people that like they're basically being like, this is an aberration. Like, no people, you don't have to be like this. And, Tobey Maguire puts his dad on the stand, his dad who's still black and white.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, no, I don't think so. And he's like, look at her. Like, look at that woman. Like, don't you like love her? Like, he's pointing to the mom who has had an affair.
Right.
But like,
sure.
And he's like, you love her, don't you? And he's like, yes, I do. And he like cries. And then he like becomes Technicolor.
Yeah.
And then the mayor's like, this is ridiculous. Like, this is foul. This is change. This is blah, 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 blah. Right. And he's like, and Tom Gar's like, this could be you too. And he's like, no, I couldn't. It could never be me. It could never. And he gets so mad and he screams. Like, and he's like, and it's, and he becomes Technicolor.
Because, no
like,
way.
Because he's so passionate. Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, that's what it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's a politician that finally cares.
Like, well, it's that
I'm just kidding.
It's not what I said. But it's like the idea that he, like, is being real. You know, it's like,
right.
And like, or like, you know, is, you know, it's this.
Believes the thing he's saying.
Yeah.
Instead of just sort of saying it because it's always been true.
But so, and then, you know, and then Pleasantville is like all in color and everybody's like more interesting and more happy,
yeah.
But it's like things are, you know, it's like when, it's like also when Pleasantville became Technicolor, like there was violence and people were fighting and like,
sure,
and they've never
yeah.
had that before, but they like, you know, it's like now it's like a real place with
yeah.
like where people can like do things. And I bet you if this movie was made today, there would be, one of the characters would be gay and that would be a thing that would.
I would have loved that.
Because that would be literally, like, that's exactly what this movie's about.
Right.
But then, Tobey Maguire, goes back to the real world. And his mom is there, and he has like a bad relationship with his mom, who's played by the mom from Malcolm in the Middle, Jane Kaczmarek.
Great.
And they like reconcile, and
that's lovely. Sounds so, like you learned a lot from this movie.
I learned a lot. It taught me. I had no morals before it, and now I know that change is good, and you should let people be what they are and who they are, and love who they want,
and open your heart.
Yeah.
People. Okay.
What do you think of all that?
I think it's a movie I am going to watch. I know your greatest fear is that I never end up watching this movie because I know what it is. But
well,
it seems
I feel bad about giving away the entire movie for you.
Yeah, but I feel like I would have figured it out. As soon as the first person turned Technicolor, I feel like I would be like, I see. Here's the game of the movie. This
yeah.
is what's going to happen. So you didn't really ruin it for me. You know
All
what
right.
I mean?
I hope so.
You didn't tell me who the murderer was. Who's the mayor? Anyone cool?
The mayor is played by J.T. Walsh, who is an actor whose name you don't know, but whose face you might know.
Probably.
Let's...
I knew those other
people. Oh, my God. He died the year Pleasantville came out.
Wow.
Oh, that's... let me go to his IMDb. R.I.P. J.T. Walsh. He's very good in the movie. He's very hateable.
No. He's not the guy that's, like... is a politician and then becomes jail through the bars of the X-Men.
No, that's Bruce Davison,
okay.
Senator Kelly. But I know, but he does look like him. This is hard because most of the movies he was in were...
A while ago.
Yeah, like, because he is since passed on. But he was in Sling Blade.
Yeah.
And Nixon.
Sure.
And a bunch of movies from the 80s. The Last Seduction.
I'll take your word for it, Al.
Okay. A Few Good Men. He was in A Few Good Men.
Never seen it.
Well, add to the list.
Come on this podcast and show.
I was about to say the very famous quote from A Few Good Men.
Don't do it.
listeners, I hope you know it and can say it right now wherever you are.
If you're listening, say it to yourself out loud wherever you are. Okay.
I just hummed it. So you can say it with me.
Okay.
While I hum it.
God, now I really want to know what it is. But I won't until the next time we do a podcast and someone shows me that. Okay,
it's
Alex.
Like a very famous quote.
Your turn.
Duh, it's like a famous quote. From what? Cliff's Notes.
Cliff's Notes.
Thank God you've seen that movie.
Yeah. That would be the first movie I'd watch.
You know, I went on a date with someone who I told you that they were like, oh, I've never seen Clueless. And then I instinctively shoved them.
Yeah. You have to. Who has never seen Clueless before?
Idiots.
An idiot. But also someone who, like, is incomplete as a person.
Yeah,
like, to be honest.
True.
And, like, it's almost too late for you. Like, I mean, like, if you haven't seen Clueless, yeah, you can watch it now. But you don't get the, like, pure joy of watching it in your youth.
Yeah,
but
because
like,
you're
going like,
to be
try.
Distracted by, like, how old the cell phones are. There's a lot of plaid. Like, you're going to be distracted by those details instead of knowing,
like,
how great it is.
And iconic and how, what an incredible script it is.
Right.
So, like, basically I'm saying, it's like, repent, you can maybe be saved if you watch Clueless now. It's not a guarantee, but, like.
Just laugh harder than you would have regularly and you'll be fine. All
right.
So the movie I picked for Alex is Live and Let Die.
Okay.
Which I, it's like impossible to say the title of the movie without singing.
Live and Let Die, which is a thing I definitely did know. So I did, so that's.
You knew the song. What else?
Well, I know it's a James Bond movie.
Great.
So, I mean, I'm going to assume it's going to involve spy missions.
Sure.
Suits.
Okay.
Shaken, not stirred.
Okay.
Gadgets.
Yeah.
QM, a nice car, an
yeah.
Aston Martin, perhaps.
Possibly.
Women with, like, very strange names.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Pussy
like,
galore.
Yeah, that's not, that's a, that's not
no,
a normal
you're
name.
You're fine, you're fine.
I mean, Miss Moneypenny is even a weird name.
Yeah.
Though,
we found out in later James Bond movies, which I think you have seen the one with Vesper.
Yes.
That Moneypenny is a nickname.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her real name was like...
You're the money, every penny of it. And then she's Moneypenny.
And he's like, all right, Moneypenny.
Right. Sorry, go
I
on.
I like the new James Bond movies. Oh, I haven't seen the last one. Spectre.
Sorry, we're not talking about that one today.
So I assume that I'm going to get some of these... It's a James
Trips.
Bond
right.
movie.
Sure.
Some of these James Bond classics.
Classics. Any details you want to guess about this movie?
Okay. I'm going to... Guess is Odd Job in this movie?
No, but that'd be fun.
Oh. Because I know Odd Job,
yes,
but I don't know where
exists.
He's from. Like, do
James
you mean?
James Bond.
I mean.
I'm kidding.
I gathered he was in a James Bond
yes.
film.
He's not in this one.
Okay.
I believe he's in Moonraker.
Maybe. I don't. Here's my theory, okay? Because my guess is that this is a Roger Moore James
it
Bond.
It is a Roger
oh,
Moore James Bond.
Okay.
Yes.
That was my guess.
It's actually his first.
Is it his first?
Uh-huh. They tried to get Sean Connery back for the role and couldn't, and so they found Roger Moore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just, something in my gut was like, I felt like a Sean Connery Bond, like, I just felt like I might know a little bit more because they were
yeah.
like, they were these, how many, do you know how many he did?
A lot. I think he's the most... In the most Bond movies.
Most, okay, so I just felt like for some reason it would...
I'm going to ask 8.
But Live and Let Die, I had the sense that people liked it,
uh-huh.
I think. And so I was like, it's probably not one of those later Bonds that people aren't as into. So I was like, I'm gonna shoot for the middle and go with
Roger Moore.
And by shoot for the middle, I simply mean timeline-wise. That's not a judgment on anyone's
sure.
Bond performance.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, I know you're wondering why I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
You
just hate James Bond.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't hate James Bond
mm-hmm.
movies, but this is what I was... It's... Anything before my era of James Bond is a little hard for me to, like, engage with.
Uh-huh.
So my era being Pierce Brosnan up. So when I was a youth, Pierce Brosnan was the Bond. And so those were... Because it's hard for... I said to you, I don't watch a lot of old movies because
right.
sometimes... Clueless doesn't count. Clueless holds up 100%, by the way.
That's not old, though. That was the 90s, wasn't it?
Clueless?
Early 2000s?
Well, yeah. I mean, to that? Someone now, it would be
oh,
old.
Oh, okay. I was like, no, that's fine.
No, no.
That's
but I grew era. Up, Clueless was a yeah. hot, fresh, new movie when I was young. We're getting messages from the booth. I don't know if we're supposed to.
What is he saying?
Well, okay, it's like a pop-up video. Okay, here's what our engineers is telling us. Sir Roger Moore. This is like fun facts. Sir Roger Moore has played the iconic part of James Bond on 7 occasions, matching Sean Connery for the most times an actor has
Ooh,
played the role.
I'm
though
surprised.
Not as considered as serious as Connery, Moore has had a blast as Bond, with 1977's The Spy Who Loved Me often considered one of the finest of the 23 Bond films to date.
Ooh.
Now, did you copy paste that, or is that just your opinion?
Absolutely, I
copied. Oh, wow, he just said that's his opinion. I'm just kidding. He copied and pasted.
No, but it's just a little hard for me. I don't watch a ton of old movies, and that's, I'm not saying that I'm a, like, super
opposed.
Cultured. I'm not saying that's cool. I just mm-hmm. don't. And so I know that the Golden, the Brosnan Bonds aren't necessarily holding up at this moment either, but I grew up with them. So they don't ring as old to
right,
me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? But so anything before that, you know, with the effects being less and the everything looking older and
yeah.
I mean, just, it's just a little harder for me to like, just engage with. So I just don't watch a lot of the old ones. I also don't think any of the old Bonds are like that hot.
That's fine.
Like,
yeah.
Not a D. Craig in the bunch.
No.
No.
No. I think Roger Moore is cute and definitely for the time very cute. I don't
get Sean Connery at all. Me neither. I'm just gonna say it.
The cutest one was only in one.
Daniel Craig.
No. The cutest one of the old.
Oh.
George
Lazenby?
I feel like his name is Ted. No. Dave.
Are you sure it's not George Lazenby?
It's definitely not George Lazenby, though he was
Timothy
only
Dalton?
In one. Timothy Dalton. I think he is
He only did
so
one?
Cute. Maybe two. But George Lazenby only did one. I think Timothy Dalton did like two or three. But I just think he's so cute and he doesn't get enough credit. He's got the little chin noob.
I mean,
cute.
He's handsome, but he also doesn't do it. I don't know, something about, it's like an older...
It's an older look.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, you ready to watch it?
I guess I am. Can I say one other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm afraid... I'm really... The hardest for me to engage with on old Bonds, which I don't, so I could be wrong, but is that I fear that there's, like, that the women are just, like, really, really... sexualized and useless and sex objects and like have no agency and are like dumb or, you know,
I totally understand the concern and that's why I'm excited to show you this one.
Oh, okay. Maybe my ex, but that's like, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying
right.
That's my concern.
Right.
That's why I might not be able to get
I
on board.
I almost like baited you to get
to
you to say that
about,
so we could talk
oh.
about it after watching part of this. Okay. So I have to set it up. What happens next?
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here.
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, another thing I forgot to say, what am I expecting is, like, exotic locales. So I was very
okay.
surprised that it was just, like, New York City. But also, I guess, let's just, like... Okay, so apparently there's... I didn't know there's, like, a blaxploitation James Bond movie. What year was this?
The 70s.
Wow.
What?
I just, like, okay... It's like a blaxploitation movie, but it's with James
yes.
Bond in it.
Yes.
That's very surprising to me.
It's incredible.
I mean, I don't know what happens the rest of the movie, and I don't know if I'm qualified to comment on the racial politics of this.
I'm excited.
But I was a little like, oh, I don't know how I feel about James Bond, the white hero, and all the bad guys and their hench people are black. I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I'm seeing it out of context.
Sure.
Also I'm sure what happened was blaxploitation movies were doing very well and
mm-hmm.
they were like, oh, like let's do the next Bond movie. Let's do something like that.
Okay.
Like write me something like that. So I don't think the intentions were bad. And I also, maybe it's not bad. I don't know. Cause at first I was like, oh, this is great. There's so many people of color in this scene.
Uh-huh.
I didn't expect that.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, they're all thugs. Like I was like, that's not good. But it is fascinating, too. This is what I was talking about when I was saying I don't watch, like, older... Because, like, everything from the production... Like, imagine Daniel Craig... Imagine that whole thing, but, like, you'd be like, what? Like, the That's the, but the lighting, I mean, it's all from the 70s. Like,
yeah,
it's
the
like,
guy with the pincer for a hand, like, clearly and then it, like, holding the pincer for
yeah,
a hand.
Yeah, and then, like, the mm-hmm. gun, like, slowly
yeah.
turning. I mean,
it's an old movie.
I mean, it is. It's an old yeah. movie, but that, it makes it kind of fun. Like, the reds and, like, uh-huh. and the lighting, like, on the woman whose name I...
Solitaire.
Her name is Solitaire?
Yes, it is. So you were right about crazy
I knew
she'd have
a weird
name.
Names. And I'm assuming, you know, I'm going to assume that's not her baptismal name. I'm going to assume that's
you
the name she chose for
Honestly,
herself.
Honestly, it's hard to say.
I did think, and also the fight sequence was very, if this was today, it would
yes.
be like, it would have been like some Krav Maga, like.
Instead of just throwing
instead
a
of just
stairwell
like,
on
blank,
people.
Bonk. Also, funny, when the black CIA officer showed up, I went, oh, is that Felix Leiter? And then, because in the new movies, Felix Leiter is played by Jeffrey Wright from Westworld. And I was, and then I was like, oh no. And then he was like, a real Felix Leiter. And I was like, oh, it is Felix Leiter. And then I was like, oh no, Felix Leiter's that white guy calling from the bank of giant computers.
Yes.
From the CIA, which was the, how the CIA used to look.
Sure, one bank of giant computers.
Wait, what else do I want to say? Yeah, the set kind of looked like an SNL sketch.
Yeah, it's the 70s.
Yeah. Interesting. I also don't know that... Again, I don't want to offend any James Bond fans. I saw 6 minutes.
Sure.
I don't know that James Bond, this version of James Bond, like, I'm not sensing a lot of, like, charisma or mystique or, like...
It's a lot less bravado than the other James Bonds, which I think is what that thing Lauren sent us was saying.
Black Sense. D. Craig.
Go ahead and just search it on Google. I'm just kidding. It's a lot less bravado and a lot more, like, this is a guy... This James Bond is almost a James Bond who, like, stumbled into being a spy. And
yeah, he had a
like,
very casual cool. attitude about, like, seemingly being in danger. Maybe those
right.
guys were going to take him out and shoot him.
Yeah, it's very, like, every moment is like, huh.
Yeah, that's exactly how he seemed.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was an interesting, like... It's almost more like a... It's less of, like, an action movie than a... Just a, like...
movie that's happening.
Yeah. Which is fine. But he was not fazed, seemingly.
No.
Which
is what I like about him.
Is he your favorite Bond?
No, Timothy Dalton's my favorite Bond. But I do like Roger Moore. Because I don't like Sean Connery as James Bond.
It's like you're either a Connery or a Moore, maybe.
Kind of. And then Pierce Brosnan's like who I kind of grew up on, and so he was like Bond, and then when I saw this Bond, I was like, oh, that's a cool way to do it. Now I like Daniel Craig a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't like Daniel Craig.
I like Daniel Craig because, but again, I'm not comparing him to the other Bonds. I'm saying
sure.
I just like what I see of him because I feel like he's playing like a real character. Like his Bond has like a personality and a point of view, which I'm not saying this one doesn't because I've only seen 6 minutes.
Right.
But I do like that Daniel Craig has like, there's his Bond, like, there's, like, consequence, like, I feel like there's emotional tolls on him.
Right.
It's not just, like, well,
stuff's happening.
stuff's happening. and also, he's fine. And also, he sells the bejesus out of those fight scenes.
Oh, yeah. He
yeah.
gets really into it, and they're choreographed better, frankly. Okay, so here are your little questions.
Okay,
here.
Wait. Okay, so who's actually in the movie? Okay, so I guessed correctly that
you
it was
right,
Roger
Moore.
Mm-hmm. I did not guess that it was... Oh, also I was extremely startled by that...
Sammy Brown.
Is he the villain of the movie?
No, he's not.
Is he in more of the movie?
Yes, he is. A lot.
Okay.
He's in a lot
so
of
he's
movie.
A character.
Definitely.
When he jumped out with half of his face painted, I was startled as if it was a horror movie. Like,
yes.
I gasped. Did I gasped.
You did.
Although I gasped, as you know, in...
in everything.
Everything.
And small moments in movies, too.
Yeah. So I guess, I was going to guess he was the main antagonist, but he's not.
He's not.
Okay. Is
but
he
he's
an
a,
antagonist?
He's an antagonist.
Okay. He's like maybe like the odd job of the movie?
No,
like
that's Teehee Johnson, the guy with the pincer hand.
Oh, that, duh.
like Jaws with the weirdo teeth.
Yeah.
He's got a weirdo hand.
They don't do that in Bond movies anymore, do they?
No, and it's fun too when they do. I guess that guy had the like red eye.
Yes.
Remember in Casino Royale?
Yeah.
That's kind of like that.
But he could just see an optometrist for that.
Yeah, I feel like that's an easy fix.
You can't really fix that. Those teeth. I pivoted.
Sad.
Okay, so What do I think was happening? Okay, so I'm thinking that... I guess I don't really know what he wanted from them.
Mm-hmm.
I know he wanted to get his cards. That's what I'm saying. Stuff was just happening. I'm assuming, obviously, he needed some sort of intelligence, or that this gang is has a criminal operation.
Sure.
I was surprised. Did I say this? That I was surprised that it took place in America. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, because so that's what's interesting.
You're
like, why is
it in New York? It's specifically in Harlem, which is like a blaxploitation thing to like take place in.
Yeah, this is crazy. I had no idea there was a blaxploitation James Bond movie.
Yeah, I'm blowing your mind.
Like,
so
that's bananas. Like, am I crazy or is that
no,
crazy?
No, it gets better. It gets
okay.
even more.
So I'm thinking that, but it's like, there's something weird. There's something like anachronistic about, I don't think I'm using that word right, but there's something odd about seeing James Bond in America. Like, it's like, I'm picturing
yep.
him in like Morocco.
Well, now he's in San Monique.
San Monique.
Which is an island by Trinidad, I'm assuming. I don't know if it's real, but that's sort of where it's supposed to be.
Trinidad the Tuck Taylor. That was a RuPaul's Drag Race joke.
Oh, I don't
joke.
Get
never
it.
Mind. Okay, never mind. So I'm assuming a gang from Harlem has a criminal operation that spans all the way to Saint Monique. But also, I'm sorry, I know who the main antagonist is. They talked about it on the phone.
They did. It's Kananga.
Is that what they called him on the phone?
On the phone?
They were like,
when they're talking
Big
to
Daddy.
Later.
Were they like,
oh, Mr. Big.
Mr.
Is
Big.
In league with Kananga, is what they said on the phone.
Okay, okay.
And Kananga's
okay.
like this international bad guy, and Mr. Big just sort of has a Harlem unit, and so they're like, why are the
Great.
Two of them working?
That's because that's what was my question.
Sure. I'll tell you, but not yet.
So that's what I'm thinking, is that James Bond was like, that they were like, that. Maybe there was a cold open where he was in Britain doing some or like doing some more MI6 related stuff,
yeah.
and then M or something is like, we gotta call either about Kananga or Felix Leiter calls from across the pond is like, hey bud, like
we need you.
If there's something that like you only know or
right.
you've dealt with these people, so will you come? A hop, skip, and a jump across the pond. So I'm thinking that that's why he's there. Although, again, once again, very casual.
Right.
Doesn't
Just
seem to
on over.
Doesn't seem to be concerned about, like, actually...
He loves flying. He loves traveling.
And I think he really just wants to go to, like, nice places and maybe flirt with a pretty lady dealing cards. So what do I think was happening to the antagonist before this scene? I'm assuming... Well, they're
crime
like crime,
right.
you know, probably like selling weapons. I feel like that's what they're always doing in these movies. Or they have like data. They're not in the 70s. They don't have data.
No.
So I'm thinking what's going to happen is he's going to go to this luau or whatever he's at. It's not a luau.
I would say luau is the wrong term, but a spirit of a luau.
A outdoor tropical party. In
yes.
St. Monique, but not a luau. Luau is trademarked.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah.
And he's gonna go, and again, I don't really think I picked up what he's looking for, and that might
right.
be on me.
No, it's not your fault.
Okay. So I don't know if I can say what he's looking for there, but I think he's gonna like probably make eye contact with Mr. Half.
Samity Brown.
Samity Brown, mm-hmm. and he's gonna be like, oh, that's the guy I'm looking for, and he's gonna like follow him. And then, like, a fight's gonna break out. Probably,
sure.
like, a not very impressively choreographed fight.
Based on what you've seen.
Based on what I've seen just in this
yep.
in this moment. And maybe a chase. I was surprised there wasn't more chasing, but I guess there's a whole other part of the movie.
Right, we've got
this.
Time.
Maybe a chase. And then he's gonna lose Samity Brown, but he's gonna, like, get some clue as to where he's going. And he's gonna follow him there. And that's where Kananga and Mr. Big, who I also don't... Who's Mr. Big? Or do you not want to tell me?
He's that guy that came out and was like, waste
oh,
him in the
right.
alley.
Mr. Big is the mob guy.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. so then he's going to follow them, and then he's going to go into like a lair
sure.
of some kind, and there's going to be like big computer machines. More.
It's like a bank of computers for all that
and
data.
Maybe... why do I feel? I feel like I'm debating whether or not what role I think Solitaire is going to play because
okay, interesting.
Because I feel like most Bond movies usually have two Bond women.
Okay.
I'm not going to say girls. I'm going to call them women.
Thank you.
And she seems obviously like she's in cahoots with Mr. Big.
Yes.
But also, it wouldn't be the first time Mr. Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond.
Stole a woman.
Stole a woman from the wrong.
From her keeper.
From her, yes. and you know what? You're telling me.
That's how
Bond. It also wouldn't, I mean, he's, hasn't he turned lesbians heterosexual in film?
He can do anything. Yeah. He's Bond.
I think Pussy Galore was lesbian in the book.
Wouldn't that make sense? Her name's Pussy Galore.
Yeah, and then, no. But she sleeps with Bond anyway.
Do the fucking awesome scene.
Okay, a scene that would be awesome that happens. Okay, this would be a scene that would be awesome that happens.
Yeah.
Is that James Bond is very lazily, like, trying to solve this mystery or whatever he's doing. I mean,
like, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah,
and if not.
He's like, if not, can I get a cocktail?
Uh-huh.
And what would be awesome is if, like, here's what would be awesome to me, is if James Bond was like, you know what, I'm gonna stay here and have a cocktail, I'm not really, like, engaged on this mission.
Right.
And then, like, an awesome woman came in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe either a new character who's a woman.
Sure.
And is like, I'm gonna solve this. I don't like you sitting around not, I don't like this. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't be clapping, but.
It's very loud.
But just like, she's like, you gotta step it up.
Yeah.
And so either, and he's like, oh, you want to sleep with me? And she's like, absolutely not. No. And then she maybe goes to the lair and, like, fucks some shit up.
Right.
Or maybe she, or it could be Solitaire, but honestly, I was not impressed by Solitaire.
Okay.
Like, I was just like, because I was like, I'm down, I want to, but she was just kind of like, what was she? I was about to say, what did she bring to the table? The answer was cards.
Tarot cards.
Yeah.
Very literally, she brings to her table.
But she also seemed like, I don't know what her, I mean, I liked that she was giving him a little sass.
Yeah, right.
I liked that he was like, no, 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 and she's like, not having it. I, again, as I just mentioned, I respect that. But also, why is she doing tarot in a gang?
In Harlem.
In Harlem, in a gang headquarters? Like, what's she doing there?
Great question.
I mean, that's more, I mean, I guess if I knew maybe more of what she wanted, where she was going, like,
how
she got to that point, I could maybe just know what I want to see from her next.
Sure.
But I guess I just was like, I mean, look, I've never been in a gang. You've been in a gang.
Yes, I know all about it.
Do they usually have someone reading tarot?
No.
Okay.
Not in Harlem gangs, at least. New Orleans.
And she was a white woman, which, but I'm just saying, like, I was just like, what is this white woman doing with this gang of all, what is she doing reading tarot in a fabulous red outfit?
Right, she looks great.
Looks great. Her makeup, those her eye
very
shadow
70s.
Or whatever, was like, I love, it was like total 70s. Yeah, it was, it was great. But I'm not sure if she can be, like, the, like, hero that I need her to be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just the hero we deserve.
Yeah, so that would be awesome if that happened. I know it's not going to.
I know.
I guess I should, I don't know. Maybe it would be, you know, it would be awesome if this is a blaxploitation film.
Yeah.
If, like, there was some sort of, like, I mean, I don't know enough about blaxploitation films, but if there was some, like, pow, like, bang, like, some, like, what are tropes of, like.
You're thinking of an animated cartoon.
Whatever. I don't know anything about, I mean, I know there's, like, I mean, if Pam Grier came in and just, like, beat up some people. She could be the one that I talked about earlier.
Okay. I'll write it in.
Great. What do I think the moral of the movie is? Probably, like,
I mean,
if it happens, it happens.
Right. Perfect. How does the movie end?
Okay, well, this, I mean, I feel very confident that, like, he, like I said, he's in a lair, and there's, like, an evolution, so he has to knock out the escalating henchman, so he's gonna take out Mr. Big, he's gonna take out Samity Brown.
You got it.
Maybe Sammy Bram, like, he, like, knocks him into a pit of, like, acid or something. Like, I feel like those right under henchmen always go out in, like, a really grisly way. That's what so I think maybe he, like, he shoots something and it knocks something over and, like, throws him into a wood chipper. I mean, not a wood chipper, but something. You know, he's going to go out in a.
Yeah, right.
He's going to put up a big fight. Like, a big fight. And then James Bond is going to confront Kananga.
Yeah, great.
Miller.
You're doing great.
You're doing amazing, sweetie. Kris Jenner. He's gonna be like, you can't sell those weapons or right. detonate those missiles or
whatever,
blow up that island or like whatever, or kill the queen or something, you know. And he's gonna, I think he's gonna blow up. I think however he stops him, he's gonna blow him up.
Mr. Big?
Yeah. No, or Kininga. Sorry, the, yes. Whoever the last, I think the last bad guy gets blown up. That's what I think.
Okay.
And then probably some pretty woman is there. I don't know if it's solitaire. Again, I'm sort of confused as to what level where she's playing.
Sure.
She's playing her cards at. But if not, maybe a secondary Bond
woman
character in this film. And then they probably, like, escape from, like, I don't know, the lair, or I wish it was a submarine. I just don't feel like Lars von Trier is going to have a submarine.
I agree.
And then, like, they get out of there, and then that explodes. I feel like there's going to be a lot of explosions.
Okay.
And then, like, it ends with them in bed, and, like...
It always does.
And, like, and she's like, well...
James!
Yeah, James, like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, babe, I, some bad pun.
I've got the day off.
Yeah.
And they pull the covers over.
And then, like,
That is the end of 90% of James Bond movies, is they're, like, he's running away with a girl to safety, and then they, like, M calls them when they're in bed together.
And he's like, hold, please. He's like, I'm gonna need another 20 minutes.
Right.
And she's like, 20 minutes?
What? And then the credits roll.
hard cut.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
I just want to know, one, how much of this I got right, and two, like, how this James Bond blaxploitation thing works. Like,
so it was very early on in the blaxploitation like genre, so it wasn't like, oh,
with, is this
are
considered a blaxploitation movie?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. What makes it a blaxploitation movie is there are main characters, good or bad, that have their own personalities and are black people.
Yeah.
And
okay.
So good or bad for blaxploitation films, because before then all the films that had
is
black
Kananga
like,
black.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a lot of characters, especially for this.
Yes.
Is there a black woman in this movie at all?
There is. So, right now, where we stopped in the movie, Bond is about to go meet, quote-unquote, Mrs. Bond, who he doesn't know who she is. She is a woman named Roxy. She is a black woman. She is a CIA agent.
Is she the character that I've been asking for?
She and him start solving the case together. She's like, get your ass in gear, James Bond. And there's always, in every film, there's two Bond women. One he actually loves, and one that he just seduces. And she is the first black woman that James Bond actually loves and gets with. So that's what this movie is. Isn't that crazy?
That's actually shockingly progressive.
For the 70s, for James Bond.
Yeah, I mean, people are, like, pissed about the idea of James Bond being black today.
Right.
And I know that's not the same thing.
But in the 70s, this was probably crazy. And this movie did really well.
When I was talking, were you just like...
I was like, mm-hmm.
Because I'm shocked at how much of that...
I know. It was right.
And honestly, I was kind of hoping it would be a black woman. Because I was thinking... I didn't say that specifically. I don't know why I didn't. But, like, when I was like, it should just be Pam Grier.
Just a woman.
Because, like... Because
why
not?
Bunch of the bad guys are black.
Yeah, and so it would be nice to have... That's what I was saying. Like, I was, like, wondering about
right.
that. If
but it was important that they were main characters with real personalities. And not just, like, the henchmen that's
I'm into this.
It. Yeah. Great movie. So the beginning of the movie starts with, like, three really quick scenes, and one of them I think is, like, iconic. I don't know how other James Bond fans feel, but there's a funeral in New Orleans. Have you seen, like, a funeral in
New
Orleans?
A few New Orleans.
Stop. Where they're, like, marching down the street, and they have the casket,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's, like, playing trumpets and dancing in the street, but they're all wearing black. They're, like, marching down the street.
Okay.
And they just, real quick, like, during the funeral... One guy comes up and real quick stabs an MI6 agent, and then they put his dead body into the casket because there's no body in it.
Wait,
and
the whole funeral
marching.
Was a setup?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
What was the MI6 agent doing there?
He was, like, looking for Kananga. They were all in Kananga's case, and Kananga quick killed three MI6 agents all in the United States. That's why they called Bond over, to be like, we need an MI6 agent. We know you guys keep dying, but, like, can you send one over?
You just asked that three times, and we sent three.
We keep sending you them. But obviously, Emma's like, Bond, you're the only one we can trust.
Can I see a picture of, what was her name, Roxy?
Yes.
Anders, and she's here to make it clear. That's another RuPaul's Drag Race term.
Rosie, I was wrong. There she is. Gloria Hendry. And former Playboy model. How interesting.
I just want to see a picture of Rosie.
Okay. So anyways, he gets on to, they think it's somehow connected to Mr. Big, who is a drug lord. So you were close. And drugs were a big thing.
Oh, drugs. Duh. I'm on board for this 100%. Yeah, she's basically what
awesome.
I asked for.
Right. She's awesome. And I think she does, like standing kick a guy in the face, which is, like,
yeah.
The mental image you had.
Wait, stand? Yes.
You
okay.
know what I mean?
Great.
So they start investigating Mr. Big. That guy picks him up. They go to San Monique. They meet Samity Brown, who
is scary.
You saw that he was, like, sacrificing a woman. This is, like, a show they put on. He wasn't actually sacrificing her, but he has, like, a snake crawl all around
her
body.
Yeah, just that image of him coming out from behind a rock.
It's terrifying.
It scared me.
And Samity Brown is, like, a real character in, like, New Orleans mythology.
Oh.
Who's, like the ruler of the dead or something.
I can't believe this is a James Bond movie.
It's crazy. It's insane. And later, Samity Brown has, like, the makeup on. This Samity Brown in the James Bond movie has the makeup on that the real Samity Brown, like, the real character of Samity Brown does. And it's, like, a white, like, skull painted over his black face. And it's even more terrifying.
You know, I think
he was
a character in one of the, like, James Bond video games. Like, not that...
Probably.
I mean, he's a character in the movie. I think there was, like, a level or, like, a something where you could, like, choose a bunch of, like, classic Bond characters. I think he was one
Samity
of them.
Brown. I bet
now so. That you're describing it, I'm like, I think this is familiar to me.
It's crazy. So, James Bond is going through all this stuff. He's in love with Rosie. And at some point in time, she dies. And it's very sad.
She dies?
I know.
I'm out.
And then he's, like... He runs into Mr. Big for the first time, and Mr. Big's like, not today, sucka, and throws him into this pit of alligators. And then to escape, James Bond, like, runs across the backs of all the alligators to get out of the thing, which is hilarious.
Okay. Given what I've seen of this James Bond, the idea of him even running is, like, it's, like,
it's
suspect.
Crazy.
He's like,
so
like
passionate.
I guess I'll get out of these alligators.
Somehow. And then there's a boat chase, which is the chase scene that you wanted,
okay,
which makes sense, and, like, New Orleans, San Monique area, which is an island.
Rosie.
Gloria Hendry is her name, but Rosie Carver, I think, was the name of James Bond.
Mm.
Her as a James Bond character. Samity Brown, the guy we saw, as far as actors go, have you seen Annie?
I mean, not in, like, 15, 20 years.
Try to remember Punjab, the large black man who just, like, waves his hand like this, and then the dog Sandy falls asleep. Do you remember that? That's him.
I can't remember.
He's, like, very famous for his voice. It's, like, very beautiful and deep. And he has an accent because he's from Trinidad. So he's, like, the narrator in, like, Willy Wonka, the one with Johnny Depp. He's, like, a narrator in a bunch of stuff. And he's dead now.
Oh, all right.
I know. Sorry. He's big. The other people I didn't know, but also I don't watch a lot of 70s movies. They're probably very famous. So, gator chase, boat chase. He ends up, I think you'll like this too, he ends up running into solitaire again, and he, like, brings a stacked deck of cards so that he has her, like, read the stacked deck, but it has the lovers, like, off on top.
Of course it does.
So he, like, convinces her to sleep with him, and right now she, like, has the sight, and when they sleep together, he takes her virginity, and she loses her sight, but is, like, empowered to leave the clutches of, like, Kananga. Like, she stops working for
Wait,
him.
Wait, so in this movie, she actually...
She has, like, the sight. I don't remember what it's called in this movie, but it's, like,
that's,
she actually can read cards.
There's a lot going on.
But it's because she's a virgin. And so he's, like, trying to keep
her. Well, that's some aggressive shit. But,
I know.
But, you know, whatever.
But she becomes sexually
empowered.
Woke, and then, which is a theme of our podcast tonight.
Yeah!
But then she leaves.
I'm sorry. Was this not called the Sexually Woke Podcast?
I am so sorry.
Because, by the way, I'm the wrong person for that podcast. God help me. Ooh, I would love to
too.
Be, but I'm really not.
I couldn't do that.
Anymore.
I'd be like, what's it called?
Good for you. You do whatever you want.
I chug my water because I'm nervous. But yeah, she has, like, a sexual awakening and then leaves Mr. Big's team and, like, starts working with James Bond.
Really?
Mm-hmm. To, like, throw them over. Yeah. So there's,
okay.
like, female empowerment. It's a black exploitation
For
film.
This era, that's a lot.
This film is huge, and it did really well, so I think they were like, oh, maybe we should have more of this in James Bond movies. And then in the end, Alex, and this is the big reveal and a weird thing that I haven't seen since Mission Impossible, but Mr. Big is, like, facing off with James Bond in his lair by a shark pit.
So, who... Mr. Big, Kananga, Samity Brown. All three of them are villains.
And then Mr. Big takes off his skin and reveals that he's Kananga.
What?
Crazy.
Wait, so did they have...
So Mr. Big is this, like, guy in Harlem who's doing a drug ring.
And he's Kananga, not the one with the... He's not the pincer hand.
He's not Tiki Johnson.
That's Tiki Johnson, okay.
He's the...
And is he Tiki Barber?
No, he's not Ron, Dane, or Tiki Barber. He's the henchman, so he doesn't have a huge personality. Okay. He just kind of shows up and pins his things and then leaves. Samity Brown has, like, a plot going on with him where he, like, actually sacrifices people. And he's... I think he's the one with the alligator pit.
Solitaire was played by Jane Seymour.
Yes.
Did not realize that.
I knew that name. Did not know that it would elicit a reaction at all.
That's Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
This is maybe where she got her start. I don't know that fact. I just said it out loud. Wait, Big, you'll like this.
Okay,
so
great.
They're in the end. Mr. Big reveals that he's Kananga. James Bond
that's
is like,
pretty crazy.
What? James Bond pushes
no,
T.K.
wait,
Johnson.
He rips his skin off?
Mm-hmm.
How did that work?
He like had like prosthetics on over it.
Okay.
Like all the time.
Well, now after Solitaire had the sight, I was just like, is there magic in this?
No. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's the only, like, magic. And Samity Brown is, like, sort of magic. Like,
he's just
like,
kind of, like, mystical.
Right.
Like, a little...
Yeah. Oh. I almost said elf man, but I think that's probably not what I
inaccurate.
Should say.
Probably.
Probably wrong. So he reveals he's Kananga. Bond pushes Tiki Johnson into the shark pit, and then...
I knew that a hench person
a
was going to go out in, like, a very
yes.
big way.
And then Kananga's, like, got... James Bond and Solitaire tied up together somehow, and he's, like, lowering them into the shark pit, and Bond, like, grabs a shark gun, maybe to, like, stun the...
And when you say shark gun, you mean a gun that shoots sharks?
Yeah, but I think, like, a tranquilizer situation.
Oh, no, I meant fires whole sharks.
Oh, no.
I just thought that'd be cool.
I think that's in Austin Powers. This scene is, like, directly from Austin Powers, if you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. The
this
sharks with
like,
laser beams
mm-hmm.
attached to their heads.
But what he does is he grabs this gun and takes off, like...
During which, originally, in the first Austin Powers, they couldn't afford sharks with laser beams attached to their heads.
So he's like,
all I wanted was sharks with laser beams attached to their heads. And then he's like, are they at least, like radioactive? He's like, they're ill-tempered.
That's all we could find. I think that's ripped off of this scene.
Oh,
it
must
thing.
Be.
And he grabs the gun.
And is there a slow-moving dipping mechanism? Like
yes,
Austin
that's what they're in. They're
yeah.
tied together, and it's slowly
that's
moving.
That is straight out of Austin Powers.
And it gets James... Well, it's straight out of James
I mean, yeah.
That's crazy.
What a rip-off.
They ripped it off from the future. He, like, unscrews the air canister on the gun and shoves it in Kananga's mouth, and the air canister goes off.
Is he gonna blow up?
And he blows
I
up.
I knew it!
You were totally right. And then they get out of the contraption, somehow it stops moving, or somehow Bond, you know, like, throws a rope and pulls a switch or something. I don't remember. I just read Wikipedia today. That's how I remember all this. And he and Solitaire get on a train together, and they're driving away to safety, and they're, like, pulling the covers over their little heads.
Yeah.
To have a little sleep time. And then it zooms out, and on the front of the train is Samity Brown. And he's, like, laughing.
Okay, I'm telling you that would creep... I'm creeped out just hearing about it.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the end of the movie?
That's the end of the movie.
So, is he in another... Is he in another one?
No. Neither is Solitaire. Every movie ends with James Bond sleeping with a woman, and then we don't see her again.
What are we to make... I mean, like, I know that. I know that there's never, like, that Bond women... never, like, repeat, ever.
Right.
But, like, what do we make of that?
Well, so I think it's supposed to stem from, like, he had a couple movies, James Bond, the character and not a specific actor, had a couple of movies where he just slept with women. And then he tried to get married in From Russia with Love, which we talked about.
Yes, and she died.
And she dies. And I think from then he's like, my life is too dangerous to get attached to someone, so he just keeps sleeping with
yeah.
people. That's what I tell myself so that late at night I can fall asleep.
So that I don't have to worry about those sorts of things.
So I can keep watching James Bond films and then take a little pill and fall asleep.
Melissa's got a handful of pills right now.
I only need one of them, but I like carrying the whole handful.
She doesn't swallow them, though.
Does it change your opinion, like, a little bit on James Bond?
Yeah, well, by the way, I don't have a negative opinion of James Bond.
Alex.
I mean, like, well, like I said, I don't really watch the old ones. Like, it's not that I'm, like, I don't watch them and be like these. I just, like, don't engage with them, really. Like, I saw all the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Yeah.
And I think they're fun, like, like, from kind of a nostalgic thing because they're part of my youth. Also, some great, Michelle Yeoh in Tomorrow Never Dies is a great Bond woman.
Yeah, is she Christmas Jones?
No, that's Denise Richards.
That's, I knew it. I was like, that's the woman I recognize.
But Halle Berry. But then obviously I really liked, we talked about this, but Casino Royale I think is like an excellent film. Like, I don't just think it's like a good Bond movie. I think it's like a great film. And a huge part of that is
Vesper.
Is Vesper Lynd, played by Eva Green, who is like
an exceptional woman.
Just amazing. But also, so her character, but also then her relationship with Bond. Like, so that whole thing was like, so I was like so invested in it. So, like, I...
So invested in it. I get one.
All right, fair's fair.
All right, we
Fair's fair over here. Come by fair's the fair's fair. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just like... And, like, I actually do think... I can't remember any... I can't remember really the other Bond... I remember the Craig ones. I remember the Skyfall with the house, with the Home Alone at the end. Where they set up booby traps in an old house.
Which we all had so much fun with.
I saw Quantum of Solace and can't remember any of it. I don't remember really any of it.
That's the other thing I like about James Bond movies, is for the most part, I watch them and don't remember what happened. Like, yeah. I move on. And then I'll either watch them again or watch the next one, and they'll kind of... They don't usually, like, reference the old thing, but as I'm watching, I'll be like, oh, yeah, didn't he, like, one time drive his Aston Martin across ice? You know what I mean? Like, I'll remember a thing.
Die Another Day.
But... Live and Let Die, like, Samity Brown is a very distinct character in my mind. How could
he's on the front of the train. That creeps me out.
Yeah. He's like, that moment.
Well, how did we leave him before that?
We, like, thought we'd killed him. Also, I didn't say this. We thought we killed Rosie Carver, and then later she comes back and saves Bond's ass, and she's, like, alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he has to, like, divert to something else. So she wasn't dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
I forgot to tell you that. Part that would relieve your anxiety.
Yeah, I was so sad, and I just gotten her.
There's always a lot of you think they're dead and they're not, in action movies in general, and also in James Bond.
Yeah, that happened in a movie. Well, I don't even want to spoil it, but in a movie we saw at the movie theater recently.
Oh yeah, don't spoil that for everyone. It could be anything. Probably The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Those are the two movies we're sponsored by. Okay, Alex.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on. I'm sorry no one called in. I'm really surprised.
I mean, I guess it's probably my fault. I bet they'll call in for your other guests.
I hope so. You know what? I think we both learned that Pleasantville and Live and Let Die have a lot more in common than we originally thought.
They truly do.
I know. I was happy about
it. I would have guessed nothing. Nothing in common. And now I say, and some things.
Huh. There's stuff there.
Stuff is there. Well, handshake.
Well, see you at our house that we live together.
Such a strong handshake, of course.